Warning, The Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
Savagettes, the heart-pounding savages, the sweaty savagettes, and then, before you know it, from the airy fairy music we go into, Rammstein, the Germans invading France. You can change to Rammstein, because two sides of the brain here, it's not left-right brain, it's mighty right brain. It's Mike Makes Right Brain. It's Mike's right brain. Or is it Mike's left brain? Aquarius. Aquarium. By Camille Saint-Saëns. To Rammstein. By Rammstein. So we got the whole thing. They won't let it go. The vermin at MSNBC, the More Snotty Nonsense by Chicks channel. Boy, did I ever name it right. It got worse. It got worse from the years that I've watched it. I've never seen a network go downhill as fast as More Snotty Nonsense by Chicks, and that includes the men on it, because they're all chicks on that station. And then you got CNN. Of course, they're at the bottom of the barrel, and are they digging their own grave now? They won't let the Breitbart affair go. Last night on CNN, was egging Shirley Sherrod on to sue Andrew Breitbart for defamation. The empty skirt on CNN is the same empty skirt that attacked me when I was first banned in Britain. And last night, Sherrod would sue Breitbart. Sherrod said she would consider a lawsuit. Then Sherrod, if she wanted Breitbart's site shut down. And Sherrod, the great liberator of humanity, showed her true character and said that that would be a great thing to shut down a website. Listen, I don't buy the whole thing. The entire Breitbart affair is orchestrated by Rahm Emanuel. It's central casting. If I wrote a script to attack the Tea Parties, I couldn't have done a better job. Something smells to high heaven. Now, I have my own theory on this, and I'm going to give it to you. Then we're going to talk about a story that just broke within 30 minutes ago, which you're not going to hear much about because it's Charlie Rangel was charged with multiple offenses. Now, the reason it's going to be buried by the empty skirts and the empty suits at MSNBC and CNN in particular is they don't want to let the agriculture woman's story go. They have their Rosa Parks. They have the new Grand Wizard of the Ku Klux Klan. They have the whole story laid out already. Now along comes another story of a person of color, Charlie Rangel, that doesn't work for their agenda. So they're going to bury the biggest story. I mean, it's a much bigger story. The guy's been in Congress for 40 years. He's fourth in the line of succession, and he's indicted now and charged, rather. And you're not going to hear much about it. But I have my own theory on the Breitbart affair, and I have to share it with you. And I'll tell you what it is, if I could find my monologue, which I wrote. Here it is. Well, I'm afraid to even tell it to you. Something's wrong with the picture. You remember several months ago on the Savage Nation, we spoke to a man who had infiltrated the Muslim group CARE. Remember that situation? And he learned incredibly damaging information about CARE because he had infiltrated them and made believe he was one of them. Okay, now given what has happened with the selective editing of the videotape of Shirley Sherrod, I believe that Andrew Breitbart should look within his own organization because I believe it's extremely likely that the government infiltrated his organization with a plant who edited this tape and set him up for the fall. That's my personal feeling here. It's just too convenient for Shirley Sherrod to suddenly come along and play the new victim, you know, that someone did this to her. Well, yes, someone did it to her, but I'm absolutely certain, as sure as I sit here, that I'd bet $100,000 right now with anybody that it was not Andrew Breitbart who edited those tapes himself. I'll bet $100,000 he didn't do it. He wouldn't do that. He wouldn't do it. He's not that kind of guy, number one. And number two, he would be suicidal for him to have done it because he knows the ramifications would be such as that has occurred. So there's a high likelihood that somebody infiltrated his organization, put in there by the Dirty Tricks Division of the Obama administration, and they edited the tape and they fed it to him, and the rest is history. And now we're going to move on. I mean, that's it. That's how I see it. You want to talk about it, I guess you could call. I think you've had enough with this already. Or you want to move on to Charlie Rangel? Charlie Rangel. I actually always liked Charlie Rangel. I had him on the show a few times. I don't know what it was. It was something about the... He was like a rascal kind of guy. My kind of guy. Rascal-esque. And Rangel charged with multiple ethics violations. Just came out minutes ago. 26 minutes ago. Rangel charged with multiple ethics violations. New York Dem. Gave up Ways and Means gavel in February, as you remember. Okay? A House Investigative Committee on Thursday, that's today, charged New York Rep. Charlie Rangel with multiple ethics violations, a blow to the former Ways and Means chairman, and an election year headache for Demon Cats. The committee did not immediately specify the charges against the Demon Cat, who has served in the House for some 40 years, okay, and is fourth in House seniority. The announcement by a four-member panel of the House Ethics Committee sends the case to a House trial, where a separate eight-member panel of repubes and deems will decide whether the violations can be proved by clear and convincing evidence. The timing of the announcement ensures that it will stretch into the fall campaign, and repubes are certain to make it an issue as they try to capture majority control of the House. Speaker Nancy Pelosi had once promised to, quote, drain the swamp of ethical misdeeds by lawmakers in arguing that deems should be in charge. Okay? So there's the story. Now, what are they investigating? His use of stationery to raise money for the Charles B. Rangel Center for Public Service at City College in New York? Nothing. Number two, whether he had the Ways and Means Committee consider legislation that would benefit donors to the Rangel Center at the same time the congressman solicited donations or pledges? They're all guilty of it. Three, preserved a tax shelter for an oil drilling company, Nabors Industries, which has a chief executive who donated money to the center while Rangel's committee considered the loophole legislation. If he's the only one who did it, I'll eat my hat. Let's start with Dianne Feinstein and work our way down. You're telling me he's the only one who did a favor for somebody while they were donating money for loopholes? Are you kidding me? It's how politics works. So far, it's nothing. Used four rent-controlled apartments in NYC when the city's rent stabilization program is supposed to apply to one's primary residence. This raises the question of how all the units can be primary residences. One was a campaign office. Raising the separate question of whether the rent break was an improper gift. Nothing, zero. See, I'm going down a list here. They're not going to get him on any of that. It'll all be like, you can slip through those. Here's another one. Whether Rangel, as required, publicly reported information on the financing and rental of his ownership interest in a unit within the Punta Cana Yacht Club in Punta Cana, Dominican Republic. Rangel also had to pay back taxes on the rental income. Nothing, they'll sweep it aside. And here, finally, they're looking into intentionally failed to report when required hundreds of thousands of dollars or more in assets. The amended disclosure reports added a credit union, IRA, mutual fund accounts, and stock. He's not going to get slammed with any of this. This is strictly to show you how corrupt the Democrats actually are. So let's go back to Breitbart. 1-800-449-8255, michaelsavage.com. Andrew in Mississippi, welcome to the Savage Nation. What do you think? Do you believe Breitbart was set up by the government?
I believe wholeheartedly he was set up by the government based purely upon the immediate response. Down here, we're dealing with the largest oil spill ever. It took them 2 weeks to acknowledge that. That's right.
And they covered it up for weeks because it was Obama's Katrina, and they made it look like he had nothing to do with it, even though he stood in the way of the cleanup right from the beginning. In fact, he stood in the way of Governor Jindal. He had the Coast Guard come and harass the people with barges that were trying to pump the oil out of there. We saw the whole picture, but the vermin in the media covered it up.
Yes, sir.
All right, next case. Move on. Me. San Diego, Nick, welcome to the Savage Nation. Topic, please.
Hey, I think that everyone's got the template all wrong with this Breitbart thing. What Breitbart was trying to show with the tape was not the woman speaking, but the reaction of the crowd to her initially racist statements. If you watch it closely, when she begins to talk about, you know, the racist feelings and attitudes and actions that she was engaged in, they clap. And then she says, wait, but I...
Right, but the media has deleted those reactions from the NAACP from all of the tapes they're showing.
Yeah.
But all right, and so they're in an absolute propaganda battle right now, trying to tear down Breitbart, the Tea Party movement, and Fox News. They're trying to take it all down. Let's be very clear. You have a Marxist administration, the first Marxist administration in American history, running the country. And I don't mince my words. I'm going to lay it out in my new book, which is coming out in October. I spell it out from page 1 to page 500. And that is a document that is in my publisher's hands. It will clearly show you that we have the first Marxist administration in history. We will show you everything about it. But let's put that aside. I'm not here to promote a book. So we have the first overt Marxist administration in American history. We have a Marxist press. Whether some of the dummies know it or not is irrelevant. Most of the dummies at CNN don't even know who Karl Marx was. They think I'm talking about Groucho. They got a putz on CNN who should go to work for Fidel Castro. And the big shame of it is that he's of Cuban descent. He should know better. But the man espouses Cuban-style Stalinism on his show every day. What a putz! But you see, men like that are uneducated dolts. They don't even understand that they're the useful idiots that Karl Marx wrote about. And so you've got a Marxist administration, you've got a Marxist media, and then you have a few standing tall against them. You've got Fox News, you've got Drudge, you've got Breitbart. I'm going to name them all, but you know who they are. You've got Michael Savage. We know who they are. We are the traditional patriots that made America great. They are the vermin who have tried to undermine America from day one, and the American people are on my side, not their side. Every poll will show that I am telling you the truth. You take the Arizona situation. When in history have you seen a government come out against the people to the extent that you see it now, taking the side of foreign powers? You have a government of Obama taking the side of the Mexican government while they are conducting a war against this country. The people can see this clearly. That's why Obama's poll ratings have plummeted. That issue, the Gulf oil mess, you name it, Obama is clearly being blamed because the people are not as dumb as Rahm Emanuel thinks, okay? So, we are at war. The communist left in this country, if you want to make it real simple, is at war with traditional America. And the communist left thinks that in Andrew Breitbart, they finally have a way to tear down Breitbart, tear down the right, tear down Fox News, tear down the Tea Parties. You know that just a week ago, do you remember what was said by Joe Biden? The squirt gun vice president, the man known to use squirt guns on his lawn with other esteemed members of Congress. Our vice president eerily said a week ago, don't count us out yet in the midterm elections. We have a real trick up our sleeve. Do you think that the old Biden was talking about this case, the Breitbart affair? Do you think the government infiltrated Breitbart's organization and edited those tapes? Because everything to me looks like it was planned in advance, right down to the white farmers who suddenly came out and said she was a wonderful woman and not racist. Where'd they get them from within a day? How could they have found them so quickly when we were told 2 days before that the man was dead but that the woman was living? I think the whole thing is an act. I think the entire thing is created like Capricorn One. I'll be back.
Savage.
Busting me bad at all. I think we're going to shock the heck out of everybody. I am absolutely confident. When people take a look at what has happened since we've taken office in November,
right,
and
he said he's going to shock the world, and they are. They set this whole thing up. It's certainly a possibility. Now, the lead story, since we're a sex-starved society, a sex-mad society, actually, since America is perhaps the most sex, we were once the most sexually repressed society on Earth. This is an extremist nation, by the way. We range from the Victorian-era sexual repression to the sexual liberation movement of the 60s, which has led to every disaster a society has ever known. a low birth rate amongst the people who engage in the highest rate of sexual activity. Almost no birth rate whatsoever. In other words, the more free sex there is, the less children there are. Do you understand the old joke of the cow and the milk and all of that? So that's how that's working. That's number one. The disease level, out of control, number two. Moral degeneracy, number three. I don't want to get into it like Mr. Preacher here, but the fact of the matter is, since we're a sex-crazed society, the lead story on MichaelSavage.com is that two other women have come forward and claimed that Al Gore abused them. I have to tell you this, because to me it's starting to look like global groping. Again, it's over-the-hill masseuses in hotels who are coming out now, according to the bombshell story released by the National Enquirer. Two more female massage therapists who make claims they're abused by Al Gore in his global groping situation. Now, these allegations are amazing in the sense that the new incident allegedly took place at a Beverly Hills luxury hotel when Al Gore Leone was in Hollywood to attend the Oscars in 07. The second alleged attack occurred a year later at a Tokyo hotel. And I'm not going to read the whole thing to you because it's kind of embarrassing. It's very Beavis and Butthead, but you'd expect that from him. The therapist claimed that when they were alone, Gore shrugged off a towel and stood naked in front of her, a source said, recounting the Beverly Hills incident. He pointed, blah, 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 and said, take care of this. The probe threatens to engulf Gore deeper into a sex scandal, once thought unthinkable for the Nobel Prize winner. I mean, the word Nobel Prize winner, like, they're not involved in sex scandal. All of a sudden, they're pure. That's like saying, oh, yeah, pure, Nobel Prize winner. Do you know how many Nobel Prize winners in the soft science? Now quote me on that and put it in Media Matters, okay? If you don't understand sarcasm and satire, don't listen to the show. Nobel Prize winner built up an image as a doting husband and family man. Are you kidding me? Who fell in love with his wife at the high school prom and lived happily ever after. Please. Please. 90 days top. Gore and his wife Tipper announced in June that they were breaking up. Remember that we talked about that? Said they had grown apart. They knew the scandals were coming. He transferred probably all his assets to the wife. So whatever's left, they give to the old burnt-out hags, the massage therapists that were threatening him. That's all. So two more now. Global groping, Al Gore.
Savage.
You want to talk about global groping and the new accusations against Gore. You want to talk about the Breitbart affair. You want to talk about the Wrangler affair or whatever. I mean, the fact is, it's a talk show. I've been around for 16 years, and with God's willing, I'll be around a little longer, whatever. Right now, I'm going to tell you, I'm going to take a diversion because a lot of people like the personal. It's not about Teddy. Where's the dog? It's not about Teddy. I got to tell you something. You know that I was once a big wine drinker. For years, I drank a half a bottle a day. Really, I lived on it. And a number of years ago, I stopped drinking wine because the headaches, I couldn't take it anymore. I don't know whether it's the allergies, I got older, who knows. So basically, I don't drink wine anymore. But last night, it's been cold in California now for a week and a half. Winter, like winter. I know you're suffering on the East Coast, you can't believe it. 90 in Florida, 90 in New York. One of the reasons I love San Francisco and the whole Bay Area is the fog and the cold. And I mean, this is not intermittent. It's from morning till night. Today, a little sun, but cold like the winter. I'm wearing like a pea coat that I love and a sweatshirt on my bicycle, for example. It's so beautiful out here. So last night, to make a long story short, it was cold. I'm sick of fish. I'm sick of the sewer shrimp that's coming in from Asia. I don't want any more seafood for right now. You know what I'm saying? So I call my local restaurant. I say, it's Wednesday night. I'll have the tongue because they make tongue on Wednesday night. Now, no one eats tongue left in America anymore. My mother ate it. She ate the organ meats. She's from the old world. So when I was young, I thought it was so grotesque to eat organ meats. She ate tongue. She ate brains. I know it's crazy. Ooh, yeah. She lived to 88. So you know what? Get back to me when you're 85. All of you vegetarians, get back to me when you're 85. You should live as long as she did. But the point is, so I order the tongue and steamed vegetables. I didn't pig out completely. And then I order I was looking to drink red wine. I had not had any for over a year. I never drink it. I get sick from it. I wanted red wine in the cold with the tongue. I go in my wine cellar, which is not extensive. I have some very good wine, which I save for when some relatives who I know love wine come up. the Italians I love, some French. And the only thing I could find that I would open, I wouldn't open the real expensive stuff for myself, a half a bottle. I opened Nibaum Coppola Rubicon 2000 because I know it was worth it. I looked it up on the, about $150 you'd pay for it retail, right? Well, hangover from the first sip. But a mild, I mean, like a subtle hangover. I drank a half a bottle. I was feeling very good, by the way, after the tongue and that. I even gave Teddy. The missus ordered something with bones in it. I forget what you call it. Oh, Osso Buco, which we never eat. Remember, I wrote the health food books for 30 years. Remember this. I wrote the health food books, so don't lecture me about all of the deficits of meat. The fact is most of you are meat deficient. Most of you in America need meat because you're lacking carnitine, you're lacking iron, particularly women. I've never seen diets like this and what they're doing to their children. I don't know how the boys can get past age 11 without lactating from the diets they're putting, particularly white boys, on. I've never seen anything like this. Vegetarian. God forbid anything should have actual nutrition in it. They're turning them into little, okay, I made my point. You need a little meat. I didn't say continuously. You need some meat. Carnitine. That's why you're lacking energy. That's why you have no chi energy, because you went on these very meager yin diets. You have no energy. You can't live on such a yin diet. It's unheard of. You're not a Jain in India, J-A-I-N. Okay, you need a little meat. You need some flesh. You need some protein. Stop fooling yourself with, I haven't had red meat for 20 years. What do you want, a medal? You know how many men I meet? Oh, they say it to like little boys. I haven't had any red meat in 20 years. So what? You know, get back to me when you're 85. So what do you mean you haven't had red meat in 20 years? So what? You know what I'm saying? If you take enough B6 and you take enough of the other nutrients that are known to interfere with the production of that toxic side product, you don't really have to worry as much. I'm not saying you. Anyway, so she had the Osso Buco. So I sucked the marrow out of one of the round bones from the poor, what was it? It's not a buffalo. What are they? It's an ox. I don't know what. No, not like oxtail soup. Osso Buco is a veal, isn't it? And a big, long bone with a hole in the middle of it. I sucked the marrow out of it, which I haven't done in 20 years. I felt so good from it. I couldn't even gnaw on the bone. It was so thick. I gave it to the dog. Now, this is an 11-pound dog who never gets a bone. You ever see how the dogs eat in America? They're also, half of them are ambiguous, let's say, gender-wise, because of the bad diets they're eating. Dogs are not meant to eat these refined little tofu diets. Dogs are carnivores, you know what I mean? Give them a piece of meat once in a while with a bone on it. So Teddy eats the bone. He takes it like he looked like a lion. When he was through with it, his claws even extended. They went out a couple of centimeters. Each claw went out. He walked like more. He walked macho. The way he sauntered around the living room afterwards, he looked like Ferdinand the Bull, just from getting a bone thrown at him. What I'm saying to you is I had a hangover from about 1 in the morning. I couldn't sleep. The hangover was so bad from that Rubicon. I have nothing against Coppola. I mean, I loved his early movies. I don't even know the man. But I'm just telling you, this wine left me with a smasher. I don't like to live on aspirin. I had to take an aspirin when I went to sleep. I had to take one in the morning to get out of bed. Thank God by now I can function. It went away about an hour ago. Between enough vitamin C and enough water, here I am. I just thought I would share with you my little nutritional story. Now let's go back to the calls on topics far more important than my alimentation. Florida, Bill, welcome to the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
Dr. Savage, how are you, sir?
Go ahead. I just told you how I am.
Okay, no problem. Listen, I wanted to run something by you. I'm a news junkie, and I've been following this Breitbart deal. He helped put the Drudge organization together, or worked out the logistics of what Drudge does. And then I heard he went over and did the same thing to the Huffington Post.
Okay.
Completed things with them, and then this story ensues.
Wait, hold on. You're missing a big step. In 2005, he set up his own websites. I mean, you can't leave out 5 years of work.
Then he puts a story about this woman.
Well, Bill, react to what I said.
What's
he
that?
Worked. He went for 5 years. He's built his own websites.
I understand.
Okay. So well, now, what is that? What does that have to do with this particular scandal?
Well, we have the woman in the agriculture department that he put an article together about. Correct.
That he what?
That he put an article together about this woman in the agriculture, that worked for the Department of Agriculture.
What do you mean put an article? He didn't write an article. He released tapes of her giving a speech at the NAACP, Bill?
I'm nervous, but he released...
Oh, okay. All right. I understand that. All right. So he releases tapes which look like they were edited, and I suspect not by him. And so, therefore, what's your point?
The point I'm trying to make is, could this possibly have been an ego thing with selective omission for him to gain a share of market in this particular news dissemination business?
Well, I don't think so. Let me say why I don't think so. Because anyone with a modicum of intelligence could have predicted that this is what would happen once it came out that that wasn't the whole tape.
Okay.
But there's so many elements to this story that are so conveniently available within, let us say, hours of the story breaking that I suspect the government infiltrated his organization and edited that tape and he released it too soon. That's what I think happened. You know what I'm saying? Chicago, Karen, your opinion. Go ahead, please.
Oh, doctor, thank you for taking my call. You do a wonderful job. I appreciate what you do. Listen, they are in a full assault for all the conservatives. First it was Fox, Rush, you through Britain, and now Breitbart. Why isn't anybody asking the question about this white farmer? Supposedly, 24 years ago, she had this issue with this white farmer. Then CNN, or one of these goofy stations, gets the white farmer, and he says, she treated me wonderfully.
Wait, on Monday, CNN reported, on Monday, if I remember correctly, they said the white farmer was dead, but his wife was alive. And then 2 days later, both of them appear like Ma and Pa Kettle in this homespun, by cracky, who would have stirred this up? Well, she was perfectly wonderful to us old white crackers. She's a wonderful black woman. They're just trying to stir up some hate. Where'd they come from all of a sudden?
We're supposed to believe that from 24 years ago, that's the wife, and they found her within 12 hours, and they knew that that's who she was referring to.
Wait a minute. They said that the farmer himself died years ago and that she was only living. Then all of a sudden, they had them like from central casting. So to me, the whole story looks fabricated from day one. That's what I am saying. And I believe that it's the dirty tricks of the Obama administration, who is at war, by the way, with Fox News, with bloggers who oppose their policies, and with talk radio, and particularly the Tea Party, which is their gravest threat to this day.
Well, they basically...
But, there's a lot of buts here. If you care to talk about this incident, or the Charlie Rangel scandal, or the Al Gore groping scandal, or the tongue that I ate last night, the phone number. Does anybody out there eat tongue? Is there somebody in America who still eats organ meats? There's got to be one person. You know, it's one of the highest cholesterol meats there is. Don't think I don't know it with a PhD in nutrition. Tongue, very high. Liver, very high. I have a friend, by the way, one of the most famous nutrition doctors in the world. He's an MD, and he's been writing about nutritional topics before most of the doctors in the business today were even born. He eats a lot of liver, cow's liver, once a week. He swears that the amount of iron in the liver is extremely important for the human being. So, don't worry about all of these things. Eat it once in a while. You cannot live on such a thin diet. That doesn't mean, okay, you can't be a vegetarian. You can. But how much can you eat a thin diet and still have energy to be functional? A lot of the reason Americans are so weak today is these weak diets, low fat, low fat, low fat. They even give their children low fat diets when the child's an infant when they need a high fat diet. Did you know that? Do you know that infants need high fat diets, not low fat diets? Where'd this come from, low fat diets? And as I say, that's why the boys will wind up lactating at age 11 instead of developing secondary sexual characteristics. 1-800-449-8255. What do you want me to talk about in the Savage Nation? Again, look, there's a lot to talk about. The news is very heavy, but you know what? It's the summertime. Here's a nice soundbite for you from a gentleman named Malik Shabazz of the Black Panthers. Here's something that really will heal America. Listen to clip 9.
A black man, really, or a black leader cannot be a racist. You cannot take the slave who takes the whip from the slave master and begins beating the slave master. You can't call the slave a reverse racist. White people have not experienced racism, Jim Crow, and terrorism the way my people have.
This is just what America needed now. A white person can't experience racism. No, no, no. He knows nothing about how the Irish were treated, how the Jews were treated, how the Italians were called names and mistreated. He has no idea. The only people who have suffered are his own people. That's a man with a tremendous global vision. And frankly, I think that Mr. Shabazz should be invited to the White House for a conversation with Barack Obama, because that's just the kind of man they need right now in the White House. He says, you cannot be a racist if you're a black man or a black leader. Can you believe a statement like this? Can you believe a thing like this? Have you ever heard such hatred like this in your life? I'll be right back.
Savage.
So today, because I was guilty about eating that high cholesterol tongue last night, I ate a pure salad for lunch. I feel better. I didn't get tired. It's amazing. You vary, that's all. You know, I eat tongue once in a while. I'm in the talk radio business. I remember even years ago, I'd go to an Italian restaurant in San Francisco. They used to sell it. And the Italian guy behind the counter would say to me, point to his tongue and go, la lingua, la lingua. You know, people don't eat it anymore. You have to understand why I'm so good in radio. It's because I eat tongue. I would bet I'm the only one in radio who eats tongue. Now that they hear it, they're all going to rush out and eat tongue. It's very hard to cook. You cannot cook tongue. It's murder to cook to make it right. Speaking of tongue, I understand Al Gore eats a little tongue himself. New York City, WOR. Diana, welcome to the Savage Nation.
Hello, Michael. You know, I've just been listening to what you were saying about the Breitbart affair, which I haven't been following. It's not that important. And I don't think that, I cannot imagine that this was possibly planted. It doesn't make the president look good at all. It makes him look like, you know, running like a chicken running without his head.
Yes, I agree. That's right. Indecisive, knee-jerk reactions, running from hither to yon. I understand that.
Terrible. But I did want to ask you one question, but a last point on that Breitbart affair is I never really listened to the news during the weekend, but this weekend the two things that kept coming up, and I just let them pass. I didn't realize they would be the talk of the week, was that and then the Mark Williams thing that was he was forced to resign from the Tea Party. And I think that this Breitbart portion just completely wiped that off the national media.
Right.
And,
well, the other guy is an unknown. No one knows who he is. But it was an attempt to smear the Tea Parties. So they're definitely attacking the Tea Parties because they know that the Tea Parties will control the outcome of the midterm elections. And once they lose those, they're going to lose the presidency. So they figure if they can undermine or kill the Tea Parties in any way before the midterms, they have a shot at retaining some of the dominance. And so that's what this is. They're at war right now. They're in full war mode against the Tea Parties. The biggest threat that's ever appeared on the horizon are the people themselves. The very thing the Democrats claim they have, which is the grassroots movement, which they don't, has occurred, and it has nothing to do with them. It's occurring to the benefit of the other side, and they're in the battle mode, so they're attacking it any way they can. Thank you for the call. Charlie I want to go to New York. Richard, welcome to the Savage Nation from WOR. What's your topic?
I had to tell you that I was listening to another station, but I have to go back to Michael Savage because after listening to the other station, the doom and gloom, and they speak with such hate and anger that you feel it and you get depressed.
Yeah, he's a Johnny-come-lately fraud. I know who he is. He has no talent. He's the one with the voice that sounds like an old woman getting a hysterectomy, right?
That's the one.
Yeah. He sounds like an old woman on an operating table without anesthesia in Chile somewhere in the 1800s. The only reason he's anywhere is because he's a lawyer and Rush Limbaugh promotes him. I understand that. He has no talent. The man is a zero talent. So you left me for how long were you listening to that jerk?
12 and a half minutes until I turn to you and I hear the sucking of the marrow and the bone and how it made you feel so good. You're talking my era. And I'm with you. I mean, I know what it is.
All right, so now I have to talk about sucking marrow out of a bone to keep you listening? That's great. So I should give up politics and talk about eating bones?
Brought things to reality when you don't.
I know. I'm just kidding. Yeah, you got to mix the two together. How much can you take of anger and hatred towards Obama until you turn the radio off? Don't they understand that stock and trade is dead? Hating Obama is not a full-time career. It's stupid. It's idiocy.
But you tell the political end of it with truth and meaning that your mind.
All right. Well, now you're back. Now you're back, and I'm glad to have you back. But you should never listen to a man who sounds like an old woman getting a hysterectomy without anesthesia to begin with. Any man who has a voice like that shouldn't be in radio to start with. He should be working in Thailand in a sex change clinic as the person in the reception room. That's where he belongs. He has a law degree. It's perfect. That's all. I don't even talk about him. The guy won't be around much longer. I can guarantee you he'll implode from his own anger. New York Don, welcome to the Savage Nation. Topic, please.
Michael, first of all, it's an honor and a privilege, and I really cannot believe that I was able to get through the...
Don, let me explain something. I am not Rush Limbaugh or Hannity, and I don't need anyone to say it's an honor or a privilege, although thank you. Just say hello and what's on your mind.
Well, the eating of organ meats, at least in my family as an Orthodox Jew, are alive and well, whether it's chicken liver, beef livers, tongue... Sucking out
and what, you live to the average age that you live to, the ripe old age is 47, 48?
I'm not saying I
I'm joking, come on. No, we don't know. You can't eat organ meats on a regular basis and not suffer some consequences. Now, look, don't get me wrong. You can't eat them every day. You understand they're very high in cholesterol.
Yes, I do.
But the main problem is not cholesterol. This is one of the great myths in the history of medicine. It's one of the greatest propaganda stories ever passed, which is to be afraid of fat and cholesterol. That is not the number one problem in relationship to coronary artery disease. This is all part of the government medical complex, incidentally. They've got everyone on Lipitor. They've got everyone paranoid. They got everyone checking their chest every 3 minutes. Oh, what was that? Oh, there it is, the big one. Every man over 30 thinks he's dying in a moving car, and he's going to leave his children alone. Everybody is a cardioneurotic as a result of this. But the fact of the matter is there is some relationship between diet and health. And I have written about it for 25 years. That does not mean I know all about it. But I can tell you right now that if you take the right mega nutrients, you can eat an awful lot of things that you've given up.
Savage.
Warning, The Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
With a theme from a love story, because this is the music that apparently Al Gore wrote. In fact, he wrote the book and he appeared in the movie. But I'm sorry, this song will never be the same for me after what came out today. It has now turned into the soundtrack for a sort of softcore porno film love story, because two other women have claimed that Al Gore abused them, and they're both old masseuses. This one says it happened in the Beverly Hills Hotel when Gore was in Hollywood to attend the Oscars in 07. So when I hear love story now, I mean, this comes to mind. The therapist claimed that when they were alone, Gore shrugged off a towel and stood naked in front of her. He pointed at a certain part of his body and said, "Take care of this." Now, the reason I'm mentioning this is because Al Gore deserves it, even if it's not true that he deserves it. And the reason is because he's faked the world out for so long with the man-caused global warming scam. He's made a fortune off it. A fortune. And the irony of the Al Gore story, which I'll never understand how the people in the media are so naive and gullible, they don't understand it. Al Gore's father, Senator Al Gore, after he retired from the Senate, went to work for Arm & Hammer, Occidental Petroleum. Nothing wrong with that. Straight up. Occidental Coal Company. His father became the president of Occidental Coal. Al Gore inherited his money from the Occidental years. Al Gore has been deeply enmeshed in the oil industry from the time he was an infant. And now for him to make a fortune by attacking the oil industry and peddling the so-called green industry and peddling books that are lies is amazing to me. There is a certain truth in the statement that God sees the truth but waits. That's all I can say to you. Now, speaking about the truth, we have the whole issue of the vermin at CNN and MSNBC, more snotty nonsense by chicks, talking about the Sherrod affair and selective editing and clucking. Selective editing, selective editing, selective editing, selective editing. They made it look bad. Selective editing, selective editing. Look how selective editing. Even Robert Gibbs, the human gefilte fish, came out yesterday and said, when you're going to listen to 2.5 minutes of a person on videotape, you have to understand what the rest of the 45-minute speech was. Right, Mr. Gibbs. So all of these leftist groups are concerned about selective editing, are they? And yet not one of them will touch the story of Michael Savage, the victim of selective editing, at a far higher level than Shirley Sherrod, civil servant. After all, Shirley Sherrod was fired with full pension before she was rehired or offered a bigger job, and she could still travel to England to enjoy the cuisine and the dental work that they're famous for. I am banned from traveling to England. I cannot go there and experience the great medical system that England is known for, nor can I experience the cuisine of England, which they're also famous for. You say, well, it's not a laughing matter. It is a laughing matter. It's irrelevant what you think. I'm the only member of the American media barred from entering a Western nation. But wait a minute. Hold on a minute before you say you're bored of it. And yet, MSNBC, nor CNN, which is clucking over selective editing with Shirley Sherrod, refuses to even cover the story of Michael Savage banned in England again by the new administration owing to selective editing by some groups who took my sound bites out of context. And I must say, Fox News won't cover it either. I'm sorry to tell you, your great friends and heroes at Fox News also won't cover the story. And explain that to me, will you? How Fox and CNN and MSNBC are all ignoring a story of selective editing when it comes to Michael Savage. Now, I'm a big boy. I got myself in trouble, whether it's selective editing or not. And I'll get myself out of the trouble, or I won't. And I'll never go to England. I could care less about those bigots anyway, frankly. They keep it up. I'll bring 1,000 people to the Republic of Ireland, and we'll sneer at the Brits again. That's what they do. They'll drive me into the other camp. I always like the Irish anyway. That's all there is to it. They don't like me. They don't want me there. I'm in very good company. That's all. I'm proud to tell you I'm in really good company. I think it's a badge of honor, frankly. And they can go to hell, all of them. That's what I'm reaching the point of. They can go to hell. I don't want to visit their stinking anti-Semitic country. They can shove it. But having said that, how come Fox and MSNBC and CNN are all in the same league here when it comes to making believe this story doesn't exist? They're all now clucking over the Shirley Sherrod story, selective editing. I'm going to tell you something else. If the president's handlers were as smart as I think they are, what they ought to do is say, you know what, we were really appalled at the selective editing that caused Shirley Sherrod to lose her job in the Agriculture Department, and it was done by the evil, mean right wing, blah, blah, blah. But let me tell you something. We know it goes on both sides of the aisle, and there's a talk show host who is a constant antagonist of ours. We don't agree with anything he says, or rarely, except that he eats tongue, and so do we. And you know what? It's unfair what was done to him because it's all based on selective editing. And we want Britain to lift that ban on Michael Savage. I can guarantee you that if Obama ever did that, he would gain 20 to 30% of the independent voters in this country who are convinced he's too far to the other side. I can guarantee it. I said the same thing about Hillary Clinton. We know she has desires to run against him in the primaries. We know she has desires to be the president. The smartest thing Hillary Clinton could ever do is show us she's above the fray. And say, although Michael Savage, truthfully, has been my antagonist for many years, and I don't agree with anything he says, what was done to him is the equivalent of what was done to Shirley Sherrod. It shouldn't have been done, and therefore we want Britain to lift the ban. She gained 20% of the independent vote. But the problem here is that they're not, in their own minds, I don't think they can reach beyond their own doxy to understand, let's put it this way, they'd rather cut their nose to spite their face. That's what I'm getting at. If they could drop their doxy for a moment and see the bigger picture, get out of their doxies. You like the word doxies? Look into it. If they get out of their doxies for 2 seconds, they could realize what political gain they could make by reaching out and saying, you know what, now that we looked at the Sherrod case, selective editing, bad, shouldn't have been done, okay? But it happens on the other side as well. Media Matters should be ashamed of themselves for having done this to Michael Savage, and we want Britain to lift the ban. He has no right to be put in league with murderers and terrorists. That's all there is to it. Immediately, Obama's approval ratings go up. Immediately, votes swing over to the other side. Yes, I am saying this because I am hopeful that the people who monitor the show from the other side will understand the wisdom of what I just gave them. Just remember something, boys. I didn't get where I am by being stupid, and I didn't get where I am by not knowing what the American people feel and think on a daily basis. I'm far more in tune with the American people than the schmucks who are running the White House for Obama. I don't blame him. I don't blame Biden. I blame the putzes that they have from colleges who are supposed to, you know, have their ears to the ground. Those schmucks don't have any ears, and they don't know where the ground is. Since they don't know they're behind from their elbow, how can they know where the ground is? I'm very grounded, and I know where the ground is. And I know that the independent voter is certainly going to determine the outcome of the midterms and the presidential election. I also predicted a month ago that it was white people, mainly white males, who have left Obama in droves because they've come to understand where he's coming from. Okay? How could he gain any of them back? By reaching out to this white man, Michael Savage, conservative. Conservative, rock-ribbed, conservative right-winger who's been the product of who's experienced a smear campaign from the radical left, selective editing. Then Robert Gibbs gets up and says, you know what, a terrible injustice has been done, and we're going to reach out to England, we're going to see if we can do something here. I can guarantee you 20% of the independents hear about this by the time the election comes, and they gain. And I'm not going to say another word about it, but it's a very important story, and what's been galling me is that when I hear this talk of selective editing by CNN and MSNBC, I don't believe a word that they're saying. I never have believed them, and I never believe a word they say now because they don't mean a word of it. If they did, they'd be talking about this case about Michael Savage. Okay? That's the story. So, we have Love Story, we have Gore, we have Breitbart in the air, we have, we have such good topics here. It's wonderful. I don't know why I feel so good. It must be the tongue. It's got to be the la lingua. That's all I can say. I have more energy than I've had in weeks. I must have needed the cholesterol and the carnitine. It was so soft and so delicious with those steamed vegetables. It was unbelievable to me. And to see the dog becoming a little lion from eating a bone, a veal bone, my God, what a beautiful night. The only thing that killed it was the Niebaum Coppola Rubicon 2000. Oh, what a headache, my God. I don't blame them. It's probably most any red wine would have done it, but not like this. I don't know what they put in there. They must have put some special liberal potion in that wine. Wow. Man. Oof. I almost needed to call up Rush Limbaugh for the special medication for that one. But I don't have a direct line for that. 1-800-449-8255, michaelsavage.com. So look, we're talking about everything from food to politics to this to that, selective this, selective that. And this big news, I mean, Charlie Rangel was, you know, investigated by a committee, probably a Republican committee, but you know that when there's smoke, there's fire. So I think they should throw Vilsack out. I think he's going to go next. Vilsack is the ag secretary. I believe Obama will throw him out. They never wanted him from day one because he's the only non-Marxist in the cabinet. Vilsack actually comes from a farm background, I believe, and he's the only non-Marxist. He actually knows what it is to, I think, make a living. So now they have the opportunity now to throw him out and put some communist in from Harvard to run the agriculture department so that the idiot they put in from Harvard to run the agriculture department can, in essence, fire the kulaks and take the land from them. I'll be right back. Savage. Is the Savage Nation. House panel charges Rangel with ethics violations. You won't hear about that because they're busy attacking the tea parties on mostly snotty nonsense by chicks and by the Communist News Network or the Crescent News Network, whichever you prefer. So that's why I'd rather talk about eating a liver or tongue, la lingua. I'm not going to do a lot of it, but it's good to talk about reality, Whole Foods. You like Whole Foods. That's Whole Foods. A Whole Food is a tongue or a liver. That's organ meats. New York, Marsha, WOR, topic, please.
Michael, thank you. I just want to tell you, I told your screener, my family, you know, Jewish immigrants, grew up on lung, mills, heart, brains. They all lived till 88, 90, 95, and even going to the Catskill Mountains in the 50s, ordering a side of beef and noodles with cheese.
Isn't that amazing? Now, you know, there are families who have the genes for survival, in this regard, let us say genes that are protective against coronary artery occlusion, and they can eat almost anything, you know. So you can't say it was the organ meats per se that did it. You may just be one of the lucky ones who inherited from a very good gene pool. You're laughing because it's probably true.
Longevity. And you know what? It's very interesting because most of my friends who were in my age bracket grew up with the same diet. We didn't know from, there was no talk about cholesterol in those days.
Well, I understand, but many of the men of that generation also died in their 50s from diets that were completely off the scales with regard to a distortion of nutrients, wouldn't you say?
Good time, Michael, with the tongue, see?
All right. Thank you. Look, I want to caution many of you who are going to rush out and buy tongue for tonight or liver. You have to understand something, and I'm not going to do a long health thing, okay? I wrote about this for years, so it's inherent that I have to talk about it once in a while. When you eat certain meats, you're getting nutrients that you need, as I said to you, such as carnitine, and in particular carnitine and iron, and many people are dragging their behinds around. They're depressed, they're tired, and 99% of them are on some kind of low cholesterol, low fat diet. If occasionally they ate some meat and occasionally they indulged in the foods that they're craving, I can guarantee you their fatigue would go away. I had this when I was in nutrition practice. If I could tell you how many people would come to me and I'd say, you know, once in a while, go out and eat some meat and have a glass of wine. They would come back saying, how did you know? Because I know. Because the human being is adapted for a certain amount of fat and a certain amount of nutrients that you're not getting from the thin diet, so to speak. But having said that, and it's very important you hear the rest of this, certain foods are rich in homocysteine, which is cardiotoxic, more specifically toxic to the arteries rather than the heart. And the way you interfere with the production of homocysteine is by taking sufficient amounts of vitamin B6. This study was originally done in 1952 by a long-lost and unknown genius named Professor McCulley at Harvard. McCulley took rabbits, which have, strangely enough, a similar reaction to foods on their arteries that humans do. They're a wonderful test subject for that reason. And he fed the two groups of rabbits foods that are known to induce atherosclerosis in a rather rapid, you know, at a rapid pace. And one of the groups of rabbits, he gave high doses of pyridoxine, B6, and they did not have a rapid onset of atherosclerosis. And he wrote about it in 52. This was picked up very, very slowly by the nutrition industry. I remember putting that in my book, Nutrition Against Aging, which I published in 1977. It's no longer available. I'm not trying to sell you a book. It was a great book way ahead of its time, Nutrition Against Aging. Great book. But the point is, I cited the study by McCulley, and I've always included very high levels of vitamin B6 in my diet, mainly in a multi-B vitamin, at least 50 milligrams, with the exception of those that you take in only a microgram quantity. The point I'm making is you can sort of have your cake and eat it too, is what I'm saying. Is that if you know what you're doing, you can eat the meat and you can eat the fats when you need them, which is not every day. You certainly want to overwhelm. You do not want to overwhelm your system, but you got to make sure you're getting a sufficient amount of pyridoxine, niacin in particular as well, and some of the other nutrients that are so critical in protecting us. On the other hand, if you're one of those lucky ones who inherited the 100-year-old, inheritance, the genes for that, you probably are what I called in my earlier books a nutritional rogue. There are people who inherit genes for longevity who can virtually eat anything, and they're still going to live to 95 or 100. Not all of us are that lucky. Many of us have nutritional deficiencies. Many of us, rather genetic inheritances, which do not permit us to eat like nutritional rogues do. Again, I wrote about this in 1983 in my book, The Skeptical Nutritionist. Well, I am the skeptical talk show host. Up next is Dr. Judith Reisman with her great book, Sexual Sabotage. And it is not about Al Gore and the masseuses at all. It's about sexual sabotage, mainly how you have been lied to as to the results of Dr. Kinsey's studies, which are all fraudulent. It's resulted in a plague of corruption and perversion on America, the false Kinsey studies.
Savage.
Dumb writers and critics who prophesize with your pen,
And keep your eyes wide, the chance won't come again. And don't speak too soon.
We all know this song. It's all part of the great 60s. And Bob Dylan. Great troubadour. But they were all basically singing the same tune, which is, if it feels good, do it. Why not do it in the road? Play the harmonica. Go ahead. How many people he led astray? God only knows with that harmonica. How many girls lost out to diseases and couldn't have children because of Bob Dylan's harmonica? You get the picture. So there was a whole cultural revolution, sexual revolution in the 60s, based primarily upon the fraudulent data of one man. One man destroyed America's morality, and that man was Kinsey, Alfred Kinsey. We have with us an expert on the subject, Judith A. Reisman, Ph.D., with her great new book, Sexual Sabotage, from WND Books, How One Mad Scientist Unleashed a Plague of Corruption and Contagion on America. Dr. Reisman, welcome back. It is a genuine pleasure. Welcome to the Savage Nation.
Dr. Savage, it is always a delight to talk with you, even about such tragic things.
Yeah. Well, now, you were on years ago with your first book, and I'll never forget the conversation that we had, how great it was. And the new book basically tells us more about how fraudulent Kinsey's data was. What does it disclose that is new?
Well, there's a lot of new information in it, but I'll tell you, you know, it's an amazing thing, Michael, when you're drummed out of the academic profession. Normally, you know, you have about 20, 30 grad students, and they're working on all the aspects of a discovery that you've made. And when it's just one person, essentially, that keeps plowing through, it's amazing to discover what I had. And frankly,
you were drummed out of academia because you say that the fraudulent research of Alfred Kinsey encouraged and justified sexual abuse of children, including that by pedophile priests. So you were thrown out of academia because of that?
Well, yeah, between that and my work for the Department of Justice on images of children crime and violence in Playboy, Penthouse, and Hustler, I mean, you know, there's no opening at all out there. Yeah.
No, of course not. The universities are today, unsadly so, not quite what they were even 30 years ago. So the World War II generation comes home. It was trained to honor God, country, and family, right? And to come home and get married, live with one woman faithfully, and have children. Then along comes Kinsey and his cohorts, and he reports that nearly all American men were actually sex offenders. Is that one of the things he claimed?
Oh, absolutely. He said 95%. 95%. And pointed out that would really be your fathers that he's talking about. These are the guys that were out there throughout World War II fighting and dying to preserve the freedom for the world, not just for
the United States. And he slanders them and says that 90% of them were degenerates. And then he claimed that no women or children were harmed by rape or incest. Is that correct? Because he said all sex is good?
He interviewed 4,441. I mean, talk about crummy methodology. And where was everybody's brains when they're reading this? He interviewed 4,441 women, and not one single person, not one single female, was ever really seriously harmed by a rape.
Is that what he said?
Yeah. Yeah. Now, look, I'm the first person to tell you we had a much lower rate of rape and sexual abuse and all sorts of dysfunctions pre-Kinsey. But come on, if you've interviewed 4,441...
Right, well, let's talk about that. The sexual liberation, so-called, of the 60s has actually led to a vast uptick of rape and such, has it not?
Thousands of percentage points, absolutely. And
so, in other words, all the porno that's available in every household now because of the breakdown of morality in this country and the government looking the other way, because of your term, the sex industrial complex, there's now porno in every hotel room. It's in every household. It is actually not liberating mankind. It is enslaving them. Is that basically what you're saying, Doctor?
It is. And the fundamental thing that all pornography does is to render the guy impotent. I mean, nobody consumes pornography and doesn't and remains potent. Potent, you know, you look at the definition, it's having your own power. Well, if you're a guy who can no longer make love to someone who is absolutely your beloved, you know, your sweetheart, if you can't do that anymore without imagining a picture of somebody else or even of her, then you are effectively now, you are impotent. And that happens almost immediately when the images begin to override the relationship that a human being has with another. Yeah, they're impotent. Once that happens, then everything's up for grabs.
So Alfred Kinsey, you say, was the most effective and deviant sexual philosopher in human history. Much of what we hear about sex today is based upon the lies that he told. And he was the first acclaimed American so-called scientist who insisted on the following. He said that virginity is unhealthy. He said promiscuity helps marriages. He said pornography is constructive. He said obsessive masturbation and bestiality are never problematic. He said bi and homosexual sex acts are normal. And he said children are sexual from birth. He then went on and said children are also appropriate sex partners for adults. He did this for 60 years. And yet no one challenged him?
No one in the field. You know, no academicians. When he first came out, Abraham Maslow and several other people criticized his methodology. Nobody ever spoke about, hey, how did he get that information about men saying that little babies of 2 months of age can have orgasms? Although he said that 2-month-old didn't. He said that the 5-month-old did. But they tested these children around the clock. Nobody ever questioned it. But Michael, we were a different people then. We wouldn't have, nobody could think that a scientist could actually have men raping children for his data, even though right across the water, we had the German Nazis carrying out the kinds of experiments they did.
So you say there's a relationship between the porno industry, the pharmaceutical industry, and the sexology industry. You say that they're all interlocked.
Daily. It grows daily. Look, we never could have had legitimized pornography except that we had sex experts, and most of those were Kinsey's co-authors in the beginning, who went into the courtroom and who said, no, these things don't harm anybody. This is not obscene. This should be legal. All right. So we had major changes in our laws based on Kinsey and his people. Well, okay. So we've got the pornographers who are looking to the sexologist. There was no sexologist until Kinsey, remember. No human sexuality education.
In a nutshell, you're a moralist and you're on a campaign. Do you actually think that the porn industry can be stopped when there's so many billions of dollars at stake?
Pardon?
Can the porn industry really be stopped when so many billions are at stake?
Well, I think so. Look, this country can do all sorts of things. First of all, whoever thought we would become a country in the first place? I know we were different, but still, the biggest problem we've had is keeping this from the public. If we can finally resurrect a reinvestigation at the congressional level of Kinsey, or a grand jury investigation, and the public begins to learn what was done to them without their consent, and you're looking at lawsuits like crazy that become possible. It's just like the big tobacco issue. Once the money starts being made by people who go into the courtroom and sue for what was done to them based on these frauds, look, Planned Parenthood, CECAS, they've been going into schools all over the country preaching the most unbelievably fraudulent methodologies, and most of that you can always point to the background of that as being a Kinsey-based fraud. So,
but you're saying the Kinsey Institute was a benefactor of the Rockefeller Foundation?
The Rockefellers funded the Kinsey Institute, absolutely.
God. So big liberalism, in essence, has its hand in the moral meltdown of America. Is that your implication? And why would they do that?
Without any question, the leftist movement has been a complete controlling element in bringing down the morality of the United States. And by the way, it's the same sort of thing that had been going on in Europe for years and years and years, and even worse than what our repressed Americans have allowed to happen. I mean, years ago.
But you argue in a way something I said last week. I saw this in your press release. I was quite surprised because I had said the same thing on my own last week, which was only by going back to the so-called repression of the 50s can this country hope to heal itself and become a great nation again.
Absolutely. It's the only way we'll survive. And you know.
So you're absolutely swimming against the tide, where the tide is, if it feels good, do it. Let it all hang out. Don't be repressed. Don't be uptight. Don't be Victorian. Your argument is to the contrary, correct?
Yes, correct. Absolutely correct.
So how do you convince young people who are so free with sexuality today? You know, and I know, especially amongst the youth of today, the girls give it up for virtually nothing. It's nothing. It's like a yawn to them. How do you convince that generation that sexuality is to be controlled?
Well, I think that's why I keep saying that one of the things we need to really do is to get a congressional investigation, or we need to get a grand jury investigation, so that laws, rather, so that people are allowed to know how they were lied to and how come they now are suffering with AIDS, or why do they have a gonorrhea? Why do they have syphilis? Why have they, you know, have their lives collapsed in so many ways?
In a nutshell, you're saying it's all because they were brainwashed into believing that more sex is good and sex with as many partners is good, when in fact that is why they wound up with these diseases?
Complete brainwashing. Complete brainwashing.
Well, I don't disagree with you. I think the pornography industry in particular needs to be investigated and curtailed. I think its penetration of every American household has led to a weakness in this country unlike anything ever seen. The book is Sexual Sabotage by Dr. Judith A. Reisman from WND Books. Dr. Reisman, it's been a pleasure. I wish you well with your book. Thank you for being with us.
It's a pleasure to talk with you, Michael. Thank you so much.
It's a pleasure. 45 minutes after the hour. You're not going to hear this book, by the way. I can guarantee you this is a bigger scandal than the Agriculture Department. Okay? Now, when I come back after this quick break, we're going to cover all of the subjects that we were talking about before on the Savage Nation, and you better be here.
Savage.
It is the Savage Nation. It's amazing the stories out there that we haven't gotten to. And we talked about the whole USDA thing, but I collected some stories on Michael Savage that I'm going to throw out at you, some headlines. Here's one from Denver. Vietnam vet kills intruder to protect disabled daughter. Guess he'll be arrested for that. From Albany, New York. Homeowner arrested for tackling teen prankster. See? You defend yourself, they put you in jail in this country. South Park critic faces unrelated terror charge. That's a Muslim convert. Wonderful what it does to their brain. Sherrod was hired days after USDA settled suit with her group. You didn't know about that? Ah, that just came out. You don't know anything about the lawsuit from Ms. Sherrod. You didn't hear about it on Fox, did you? But you're about to hear it on the Savage Nation, or you can read about it on michaelsavage.com. I just linked it from the Examiner. Shirley Sherrod's disappearing act, Not So Fast, came out just an hour ago. It says, until yesterday, Shirley Sherrod was Georgia Director of Rural Development for the US Today. Early in the day at Big Government, Andrew Varga put up a video that exposed Sherrod as someone who all too willing to discriminate based on race. Within hours of the video's release, USDA Director Tom Vilsack announced Sherrod's resignation, right? Then the NAACP attacked her and was supposed to forget about it, but this is not so lucky. She's complaining about Fox News and the Tea Party causing a dismissal. Then it says, keep it up, ma'am, because you and the USDA both deserve further scrutiny. What does that mean? Ms. Sherrod's previous background, the circumstances surrounding her hiring, and the USDA's agenda may all play a part in explaining her sudden departure from the agency. These matters have not received much scrutiny to this point. In other words, she was initially fired not so much because of a Breitbart tape. There was something more, and you have to see what we're talking about here by reading the story, reading the whole story. So in other words, the news that follows at the link appears to predate the announcement of Sherrod's appointment and provides further details, minority farm settlement, etc. So the story is there was a settlement with her group called New Communities. The cash settlement award acknowledges racial discrimination on the part of the U.S. Department of Agriculture for the years 1981 to 85. And her group, New Communities, is due to receive approximately $13 million for loss of land and $4 million for loss of income, plus $150,000 each to Shirley and Charles for pain and suffering. There may also be an unspecified amount in forgiveness of debt. This is the largest award so far in the minority farmer's lawsuit. So what has this got to do with her? You've got to read the whole story. The fact of the matter is, this story is much bigger than we think. And here are some of the questions about Miss Sherrod, the victim, that deserve answers. One, was Shirley Sherrod's USDA appointment an unspoken condition of her organization settlement? Two, how much debt forgiveness is involved in USDA settlement with new communities, which she was involved in? Why were the Sherrods so deserving of a combined $300,000 in pain and suffering payments, amounts that far exceed the average payout thus far to everyone else? Given that new communities wound down its operations so long ago, it appears that this occurred sometime during the late 80s, what is really being done with that $13 million in settlement money? And here are some bigger questions about this case. You see how much bigger it's getting? Did Shirley Sherrod resign so quickly because the circumstances of her hiring and the lawsuit settlement with her organization that preceded it might expose some unpleasant truths about her possible and possibly sanctioned conflicts of interest? So now we know that there may be conflicts of interest between the Saint Sherrod and the whole case of the Breitbart situation. Is USDA worried about the exposure of possible waste, fraud, and abuse in its handling of this case? Did the USDA also fire her hastily because her continued presence, even for another day, might have gotten in the way of settling matters about her organization quickly? And then they conclude, the media and the blogosphere shouldn't be so quick to forget about Shirley Sherrod. So this article came from the Washington Examiner a short time ago. Is it today? Yes, it is. Absolutely. You got to look at this. Shirley Sherrod's Disappearing Act, not so fast. It's actually from 2 days ago. But it's a very important article that nobody on More Snotty Nonsense by Chicks has thus covered. They're making believe this was an honest, simple woman at the USDA who was picked on by the mean, evil right wing and the Tea Parties, who smeared her with selective editing, and she was fired. But in fact, the longer you read the story and the more you go behind the video story, you find out that there's a story behind the story, because she was connected to an organization that's received a very big payout from the USDA. You don't know anything about that. Why not? The answer is because the government doesn't want you to know anything about it. So I thought that you need to know more about minority farm settlements, and you need to know more about the pre-date announcements of Sherrod's appointment and the details. And I have the whole story up on Michael Savage from The Examiner, and I think you need to read it. That's all. So let's now go to a sort of trivial story. Let's go to Yakima, Washington. Dan, go ahead, please.
Yeah, my grandfather, who immigrated from Holland back in 1911, of course, they moved to Yakima and farmed. They butchered their own cattle, and he lived to be 101, ate tongue, well, every part of the cow, liver, what have you, lived to be 101, sharp as could be, could still whoop you and scrabble at that age.
And he never took Lipitor, and he never took Viagra, I can guarantee you.
Oh, none of that, no.
No, he didn't need it. If he ate enough meat, you don't need Viagra.
And
the reason that people need Viagra is they're not getting diet sufficient to give them the masculinity, the masculine efforts that they need.
And my father, his favorite sandwich is a tongue sandwich. He's 94, still drives, still very
healthy. See, but you have the genes. You have the good genes. You're lucky. You inherited it. But I want to caution people, not everyone is as lucky as you. I mean, you guys could eat anything and you live to 100. You've got the 100-year-old gene, the 100-year-old gene. So you're very lucky.
If I may.
I inherited the opposite. I inherited early death. So I was driven almost crazy by the fear of dying of a heart attack from the time I was 18 years old, when my father was laying in an oxygen tent. It drove me, though, to everything I have today, into nutrition, my PhD, my travels in the South Seas collecting plants that might heal, all of the obsessive books and the searching, and now in politics, where I'm still the old holistic Dr. Michael Savage, this time trying to save not the heart, but the soul of America. That's not a bad conclusion for this hour. I hope you've enjoyed it. I'll be right back.
Savage.
Warning, The Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now,
now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
Today on the Savage Nation, we have amazing sound. We have Ms. Sherrod talking about the administration and Breitbart with the lunatic from CNN, a lunatic from CNN, who a real hater. Then we have Shirley Sherrod, who helped the white farmer Roger Spooner find a lawyer while realizing it doesn't matter what color a person is. Then we have the Black Panther head Shabazz saying black men cannot be racist because they're black. Can you believe this? Black Panther leader Malik Shabazz says a black man or black leader cannot be racist. Shabazz says white people haven't experienced racism. Of course, he's a lunatic because he knows nothing about slavery in Ireland and such, slavery in Scotland, discrimination against the Irish. He's a blind man filled with hate, blinded by his own racial hatred. And then we have Secretary of the U.S. Department of Agriculture, Tom Vilsack, apologizing for the wrongful firing of Shirley Sherrod. It's a heck of a case. And then we had a CNN anchor talk about how Obama is polling according to race, implying that his approval is very high amongst African Americans, while only 37% of white voters approve of him, and white men in particular don't approve of Obama. I guess the implication is that white men should not vote. That white men should sit out, should be forced to sit out elections for about 10, 20 years in order to make up for past injustices. Is that what CNN is saying? I mean, anything's possible in the times we're living in with the Marxist regime that we now have in power. Now we have Nancy Pelosi today saying that the Bush tax cuts did not create jobs and should be repealed. This is amazing. It's astounding. And she's attacking America's wealthiest Americans when she is perhaps one of America's wealthiest Americans. Can you believe the demagoguery of this woman? It's unbelievable to me. No, it isn't. It's called the Obama administration, the way it works. By the way, both parties are the same in that regard. I know you listen because this is one of the last places you can get real, honest, independent, conservative opinions and unfiltered news. And I want you to get the full impact of the Savage Nation. Go to TRN1.com, become a premium member, and get Savage Live, Savage Archives, and the Savage Podcast at TRN1.com. Click on my picture at TRN1.com. A woman in the agriculture department who happens to be black, and her story is being played throughout the media, making remarks that seem to be racist. And now CNN is egging her on to sue Andrew Breitbart, who released the tapes.
Would you consider a defamation suit against Andrew Breitbart?
I really think I should. You know, I don't know a lot about the legal profession, but that's one person I'd like to get back at.
Really? Because
he came at me. You know, he didn't go after the NAACP. He came at me.
That was the same anchor who interviewed me on CNN and attacked me when I was first banned from the UK. But the psycho goes on.
I don't know what I can get from him. I don't, an apology at this point, and he hasn't made that. It's just not enough for me.
Not enough for you?
No.
You're looking for
me? He didn't apologize.
Would you like his site to be shut down?
That would be a great thing, because I don't see how that advances us in this country.
So now she wants to take his First Amendment rights away? This is what I predicted would happen. They're making the bureaucrat into a Rosa Parks and Mr. Breitbart into the modern version of the Ku Klux Klan's Grand Wizard. They're even trying to drag O'Reilly down. Here's CNN trying to drag O'Reilly into the picture.
The USDA, she says, called her at least three times, pressuring her to resign, claiming the White House wanted her out. So at around 6 p.m. Monday, Sherrod pulls over to the side of the road and emails her resignation. Conservative talkers, unaware she's resigned, sound the alarm. About 8 p.m. Monday, Fox News Channel airs the video.
Wow.
Well, that is simply unacceptable, and Ms. Sherrod must resign immediately.
Even the Secretary of Agriculture, Tom Vilsack, had to apologize for this.
I started off by extending to her my personal and profound apologies for the pain and discomfort that has been caused to her and to her family over the course of the last several days. I wanted to give her the opportunity to express what I'm sure has been an extraordinary range of emotions that she must have had and still probably does have. But she was extraordinarily gracious.
But this doesn't seem to have helped Obama at the polls.
New numbers just out on what you think of President Obama's job performance. In the new CNN Opinion Research Corporation poll, 47% of you approve of the way the president is handling his job, while 50% disapprove. Is there a difference between how minorities and white voters now view the president?
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. There's a large difference. Take a look at this. When we asked that question, we saw that 93%, get that, 93% of African-American voters approve of the way the president's doing his job. As you see, Hispanics, 57%. That's still quite good. There is some disappointment among Hispanic voters that he hasn't done immigration reform. And you see, though, white voters, Tony, 37%.
Well, what do you know?
And this is the problem for the Democrats and the president right now is those white voters, particularly white men, who are growing increasingly disenchanted with Barack Obama. If those people don't vote for Democrats in the congressional midterm elections, they're going to lose a lot of seats.
Why do you think they'd grow disenchanted with a left-wing Marxist president? I'll be right back.
Savage.
Joining us now with the Savage Nation is Jack Hunter.
It's good to be with you, Michael. I wanted to get into this whole Tea Party caucus. I think we heard the announcement this week from Representative Michelle Bachmann that she was forming what they're calling a Tea Party caucus. Now, this was not an idea original to Ms. Bachmann, who I'm a big fan of, by the way. This is something that was floated by Rand Paul in Kentucky, who we know is running for U.S. Senate for Jim Bunning's old seat. Well, Rand Paul, according to the Washington Post, had told the National Review that he wanted to join forces with Senator Jim DeMint, Tom Coburn, and, quote, people who are unafraid to stand up to the expanding government, basically, is when you get down to it. And Paul had added, if we get another loud voice in there like Mike Lee from Utah or Sharon Angle from Nevada, there will be a new nucleus. And the idea Rand Paul had with his Tea Party caucus in the Senate was to bring that message to Capitol Hill and sort of inject it in the legislation, or at least that's what we can assume. Now, when one Trent Lott, former Republican Party leader, of course, senator, heard about Rand Paul's idea, this is what he had to say about the whole concept of a Tea Party caucus. Said former Senate Majority Leader Trent Lott, quote, we don't need a lot of Jim DeMint disciples, warning of a robust block of rabble-rousers from the Senate. And he added, quote, as soon as they get here, we need to co-opt them. That's what Trent Lott said. He was worried about Jim DeMint disciples, the fiscally conservative Jim DeMint, and added that as soon as they get on Capitol Hill, we need to co-opt them. Now, the reason I give you the background on the sort of origins of this Tea Party caucus that Michelle Bachmann has put together is because Trent Lott's reaction to it is what a lot of conservatives are fearing out there about it.
Why?
In other words, I think Michelle Bachmann's heart is in the right place. I wish the Tea Party caucus all the luck in the world. But if it has the effect of the Tea Party getting co-opted by the Republican establishment in any way, shape, or form, I think it's a step in the wrong direction. One of the things that concerns me right now about the Tea Party caucus as it is, one of the first people to jump on board was Representative Mike Pence. Now, there's some good things about Mike Pence, there's some bad things about Mike Pence, but basically, if you want to join the Tea Party caucus as is and you're a Republican, they let you on board. I don't think that's good enough.
Why is that?
Mike Pence appeared on Chris Matthews' Hardball on Monday of this week, and he was asked point blank. They were talking about extending unemployment benefits and how they could get around that. And Chris Matthews asked Mike Pence point blank, well, sir, you're talking about all this spending and unemployment benefits. Exactly what would you cut out of the federal budget? Mike Pence didn't really answer. He danced around it. Matthews asked again, and I don't like Chris Matthews, but to his credit, he asked this question. Mr. Pence, what would you cut out of the federal budget? He asked like three times. For a 10-minute segment on Hardball, Mike Pence would not say what he would cut out of the federal budget. Now, if you're a member of something called the Tea Party Caucus on Capitol Hill, the Tea Partiers' primary message, there's all sorts of things they're accused of, racism from the NAACP and all this nonsense, but for rational people, for a rational observer, the one message the Tea Partiers have is stop spending money. Get back to limited government. Above all, stop spending money. If Mike Pence cannot tell us one thing he would like to cut out of the federal budget, I dare say he doesn't belong in any Tea Party caucus. Now, Michelle Bachmann might be able to tell you things she'd like to cut out of the budget, but I think it's worth thinking about. If they're going to have this Tea Party caucus and the interest of not having it co-opted by the Republican establishment is merely an electoral tool come election time, there needs to be, I don't know, maybe some sort of charter, some sort of statement of principles, something that says, look, if you're going to join our group, you have to subscribe to A, B, or C as it relates to government spending, constitutionalism, something to that effect. And that's a concern I have as a conservative about the Tea Party caucus, and I'm sure I'm not alone.
Sure, I see.
Reflecting this importance to maintain your independence, Eric Cantor, Representative Eric Cantor, and once again, there's things I like about Cantor and things I don't, said that, and he did not join right offhand, he said, quote, "The beauty of the Tea Party is that it's organic, and it is not of Washington." Now, say what you will about Eric Cantor, but he's absolutely right about that. And I don't want this to seem like I'm totally against the idea of a Tea Party caucus. In one sense, I like the idea that somebody like Michelle Bachmann, who's a solid conservative, could draw a line on Capitol Hill and say you're either with us or against us. But at the same time, there needs to be a clear definition of what you're for, or, quite frankly, what you're against. You know, one of the big criticisms of the Tea Party, if you listen to somebody like, oh, I don't know, Bob Bennett of Utah, who's been burned and upset at the Tea Party, or Senator Lindsey Graham in my home state of South Carolina, they will say, well, the problem with the Tea Party is, besides them being extreme or fringe or whatever other nonsense they come up with, is they don't have a consistent, coherent vision of governing. That's what you hear from guys like Bennett and Graham and other Tea Party critics time and time again. Well, excuse me, but one of the primary features of American conservatism is a critique of the modern state. If you go back to Barry Goldwater, constitutional conservatism, it's as much about, if not more about, what the federal government should not do as much as it what it does right now. And that's what the Tea Partiers are criticizing.
Exactly.
What is it exactly that Bob Bennett of Utah, the recently ousted Bob Bennett, Senator Bennett, is upset about the federal government doing? What is it exactly that a guy like Lindsey Graham, what is it that the federal government does that he wants to stop or end? What sort of federal intrusiveness would he like to put a halt to? Well, Graham doesn't get to that, and they criticize the Tea Partiers for being somewhat of a negative movement in the sense that they just talk about what they don't want government to do. They want to stop spending. They want to limit government, get back to constitutional government. Excuse me, Mr. Bennett and Mr. Graham, that is conservatism. If a guy like Barry Goldwater still has any claim on that label. Now, the Tea Party caucus on Capitol Hill, if they're going to stand for that sort of message, that critique of the modern state, that much of what the federal government does is wrong precisely because it's unconstitutional, then have at it. I'm in full support of that. That's not what I'm hearing from people like Mike Pence. Is Michelle Bachmann going to steer him in the right direction? Perhaps. I don't know, but there needs to be a little bit more definition. And it's hard to imagine that in some respects coming from the belly of the beast, if you will, up on Capitol Hill. I like the idea of a grassroots movement holding people's feet to the fire that is outside of Washington. Or as Eric Cantor said, the beauty of the Tea Party is that it's organic and not of Washington. He makes a very good point.
Mm-hmm.
If there's, to Bachmann's credit, Michelle Bachmann said that we are not spokesmen for the Tea Party, but we're here to listen. I like that idea, but I don't want to see the same old crappy, horrible, big government George W. Bush Republicans, whether guys like Trent Lott, who I quoted earlier, who doesn't want to see a bunch of Jim DeMint disciples in any Tea Party caucus, or, quite frankly, guys like Mike Pence, who can't tell you what they're going to cut out of the federal budget. And certainly guys like Bob Bennett and Lindsey Graham, who have been confused for conservatives on occasion. I don't want to see guys like that ever use the Tea Party to convince voters to vote for them so they can get back up there on Capitol Hill and do the same damage and commit the same nonsense that they've done their entire careers, quite frankly. We had enough of that during the George W. Bush years when nobody was worried about the expansion of Medicare Plan B. Nobody was worried about No Child Left Behind. Nobody worried about the doubling of the national debt and the doubling of the overall size of government in 8 years. Nobody was worried about that because George W. Bush was our president and we're Republicans, by God.
Exactly.
The Tea Party is an awakening from that. People have woken up. We do not want this monstrosity we have in Washington, D.C. anymore. It's time for a change. Stop spending. And if the Tea Party caucus can effectively harness that and address that, even better yet, legislate toward that, then God bless them. But there is a serious concern to be had about whether these people are just going to co-opt the Tea Party movement and sort of bring them into the Republican establishment for reasons that Tea Party activists as they exist right now would certainly not be pleased with.
Right, right, right.
And let me reiterate, Michael, this is not a complete dismissal of the Tea Party caucus. I am doing what the Tea Partiers always do. You criticize what they're doing up there on Capitol Hill, even if it's done in the Tea Partiers' name. I think it's smart. I admire Michelle Bachmann, who I think has her heart in the right place and is trying to do the right thing. And maybe I, Jack Hunter, am completely wrong about this, and it's unwarranted criticism. But there needs to be a concern about maintaining your independence. If the Tea Party caucus is going to exist, I would like to see a charter, some statement of principles, or just one or two, three things that the people who sign on have to subscribe to that have to do with the Constitution, reducing the national debt, and just the overall Tea Party message of stop spending. We've come this far. It would be a tragedy, quite frankly, politically, to have this wonderful movement where people finally, in my entire political life, are up in arms, what we've been waiting for, to see it all go away and just become part of the GOP establishment again. So hopefully that won't happen.
Thanks for the report, Jack.
Well, as always, I appreciate being on with you, Michael. To learn about this and more, I encourage your listeners to visit SouthernAvenger.com. Y'all take care.
I'm Michael Savage. We'll be right back.
Savage.
Joining us now with an exclusive Savage Nation report is Eric Stackelbeck.
Michael, it's always great to be here. You know, I just returned from the Christians United for Israel conference here in Washington, D.C. It's a week-long event. The festivities have been going on all week. Christians United for Israel, we'll call them CUFI for short, is now the largest pro-Israel organization, not only in the United States, but outside of Israel. They may just be the largest pro-Israel organization in the world, Michael, which I think is fascinating to have, you know, a mainly Christian group being the largest pro-Israel group. So Pastor John Hagee, who I know you've had on the show, has founded this group about 4.5 years ago, back in 06. He founded the group, and it's just taken off like lightning. Pastor Hagee's based down in San Antonio, Texas, big church down there. He's one of the most vocal supporters of Israel in the world, bar none. He's out there, he's speaking up for Israel, and he's been for 30 years, really. But this group, CUFI, I was blown away the last few days, Michael. It's really the culmination, I guess, of all Hagee's work. You had about over 4,000 people there at this conference at the Washington Convention Center. There's about 400,000 members nationwide. It's a huge growing group, and I'll tell you, Michael, it's very striking. The support for Israel among evangelical Christians. Now, the leftist media tries to paint it as a bunch of apocalyptic doomsday whack jobs, evangelical Christians, who support Israel, which is just insane, and it's flat out wrong, and it's a lie. Basically, Michael, I didn't hear the word Armageddon, the word apocalypse, once in the course of the last 4 days, number one. Number two, for Christian supporters of Israel, it boils down to a few things.
Well, like what?
Number one, it's biblical. The Bible says about Israel, I will bless those who bless you and curse those who curse you. Evangelical Christians take that seriously. They take that literally. Number two, you have all of the biblical heroes of Christianity, the entire Old Testament. They're all, hello, Jews from Israel. And they were Zionists, the biblical figures. So Christians see this, and it's a wake-up call. Judeo-Christian values are shared among Jews and Christians, among Israelis and Americans. We could go on the biblical and the kind of values our societies, our cultures being based on the Ten Commandments. We could go on and on about this. But at the end of the day, Michael, the main reason why there are so many supporters and why there are groups like CUFI getting behind Israel is this. It's common sense. Israel's enemies are America's enemies. The same radical Islamist jihadist forces that want to wipe Israel off the map want to wipe us off the map, too.
Exactly.
In the words of the Iranian regime, Israel is the little Satan, America is the great Satan. If anyone doubts that, go to the city of Sderot, the town of Sderot, in southern Israel, right outside of Gaza, which has been bombarded by thousands of jihadist rockets by Hamas over the past 10 years. Go to that town where they save the rocket casings. They save the shells from these rockets, the missiles. On those shells, on those rockets, is stamped, literally, in Farsi, "Made in Iran." The same genocidal regime that wants to wipe us off the map wants to wipe Israel off the map. Israel, the only democracy in a sea of tyranny in the Middle East, and Israel, which is fast becoming, this is an unreported story, largely unreported, Israel is becoming an economic and a scientific technological powerhouse. The scientific advancements going on, the technological advancements going on in Israel right now are really mind-blowing. So all of these reasons, Michael, listed above, is why Christians, evangelical Christians mostly, support Israel. And they support them with a true, genuine love. It's a genuine, deep love and a brotherhood with the Jewish people and with Israel. The left can't wrap their heads around that. They don't want to wrap their heads around that. The left and Islamists are threatened by Israel. They're threatened by God-fearing people who base their lives on Judeo-Christian values. As you know, Michael, they're threatened by this. So, of course, they want to drive a wedge between the Jewish people, the Israeli people, and American evangelical Christians. Of course they want to do it. Look, Israeli leaders like Benjamin Netanyahu, they recognize this. Netanyahu appeared at the Hague conference this week via satellite, knocked it out of the park, gave a very strong speech. We had Mike Pence, the Indiana congressman. We had Shelley Berkley, a Democrat from Nevada. All of these people spoke at this conference. Eric Cantor, Joe Lieberman. So people are getting it. They get that this group, Christians United for Israel, and the support in general, not only by CUFI, but of American Christians, evangelical Christians in general, for the Jewish people, for the Jewish state, is not driven by some apocalyptic fervor or a lust for Armageddon. It is genuine. It is deep. It is sincere. And, Michael, I've interviewed Pastor Hagee. I've interviewed a number of these leaders. And I'll tell you, they're straight shooters. They look you in the eye, and they tell you exactly what they think and why they support Israel. This is a genuine bond that's being formed right now, and I think it's a great thing between Christians and Jews. I think it's a great thing. Anything that angers the left and angers radical Islamists has to be good, right?
Mm-hmm. Right.
Speaking of which, I actually spoke on a panel, Michael, at the Christians United for Israel conference. I was honored to do so, and I got into a little bit about the Hezbollah support network here in the United States. Now, we talked about this briefly last time I was on the show, and we talked about the death of this radical Shiite cleric recently in Lebanon by the name of Hussein Fadlallah. Now, this was a guy who, to his last breath, was devoted to the destruction of Israel, to the destruction of the United States. This is a guy who had a role in the 1983 Marine Barracks bombings in Beirut, in which 241 U.S. soldiers were killed. Very bad guy, to say the least. When he died, as I explained last time, we had a CNN editor by the name of Octavia Nasser tweeting on her Twitter account saying she was sad to hear of his passing. She called him a giant that she respects a lot. We had Britain's ambassador to Lebanon saying the world needed more men like Fadlallah. The Associated Press called him grandfatherly. This was the reaction by elite government figures in the West and the elite media figures in the West, and there were rallies, which brings me to my point, Michael. There were celebrations of the life of this Islamic jihadist mass murderer, Hussein Fadlallah, in Dearborn, Michigan. At least three mosques in Dearborn held memorial services in memory of Hussein Fadlallah, who was a sworn enemy of the United States.
This is unbelievable to me.
Which brings me to a trip I did, Michael, which it's a few years old, but I think this bears repeating for our listeners. Back in late 2005, I paid a trip to Dearborn, Michigan, and I interviewed a few top Islamic leaders there. One man was from Iran. Another guy was a Lebanese native. These are two men who meet with the FBI, who are regularly honored in the community as pillars of interfaith understanding, and they're viewed as moderates. Well, one of the guys is a man by the name of Imam Muhammad Ali Ilahi. He's a native of Iran who once worked for the Iranian regime under the Ayatollah Khomeini. Isn't that great? We've let him in the country now, and he's been here for the past 20 years, and he runs one of the largest mosques in the United States. It's called the Islamic House of Wisdom, which is kind of an oxymoron, I guess. He's one of the guys who had a memorial for Fadlallah. I had the chance, Michael, back in 05, to sit down with this guy face-to-face. He's a guy who on his website had posted photos of himself with the Ayatollah Khomeini, with former Iranian President Rafsanjani, touting it like it was a great thing. Sat down with him. He told me that he does not consider Hezbollah a terrorist group. He told me that Israel may have had a hand in the 9/11 attacks.
What? You can't be serious.
This is the moderate in Dearborn, Michigan, or Dearbornistan, as I occasionally call it. Now, I talked to an FBI special agent in charge. This was the head of the Detroit FBI branch at the time, a guy by the name of Daniel Roberts. I told him, hey, I interviewed Imam Ilahi, or I'm interviewing Imam Ilahi. His response, Michael, this is an FBI special agent in charge. His response, oh, Imam Ilahi, tell him I said hello.
No.
Really? A guy who doesn't consider Hezbollah a terrorist group, who considers them freedom fighters, a guy with links to the Iranian regime, and the FBI special agent in charge wants to send his greetings, his salutations to him?
Oh, my God.
Very interesting, eh? So after I interviewed Mr. Ilahi, I took a trip down the street in Dearborn. I interviewed a guy by the name of Osama Sablani. Now, he's the publisher of the largest Arab-American newspaper in the United States. And Dearborn, by the way, has the largest Arab-American population in the United States. Long story short, sat down face-to-face with Mr. Sablani, who's lionized as a martyr in the Dearborn, Detroit area by the local media, by local organizations, the FBI. They think he's great. Asked him point blank, is Hamas a terrorist group? He said, no, they're freedom fighters. I said, okay, is Hezbollah a terrorist group? Again, no, they are freedom fighters. And there you have it. I asked him off-camera what he thought of Sheikh Hassan Nasrallah, the leader of Hezbollah, a guy who's sworn to the destruction of Israel and the United States. His response, I know of no more honorable man in the world than Sheikh Hassan Nasrallah. These are the moderates in Dearborn, in the United States. This is what they think of Israel.
How could this be going on?
Which brings us full circle, Michael, to the point we've been gnashing our teeth and wringing our hands for the last 9 years trying to identify who are the moderate Muslims, what makes a moderate Muslim. Here's the litmus test. Do they recognize Israel's right to exist? It's real simple. It's a yes or no answer. If you ask a supposedly moderate Muslim leader, an imam, if they recognize Israel's right to exist, and they don't automatically say yes, write them off. No Israel, no moderate.
Thanks for the report, Eric.
Michael, thanks again. Always a pleasure.
I'll be right back.
Savage.
Now, the notes for the Savage Nation were interesting today. Several months ago on this show, we spoke to a man who had infiltrated the Muslim group CARE. He learned much damaging information about CARE. Now, given what has happened with the selective editing of the videotape of Shirley Sherrod, I highly recommend that Andrew Breitbart should look within his own organization. It is extremely likely that his organization has been infiltrated as well. And if not there, who do you think was responsible for the selective editing of the Shirley Sherrod tapes? Andrew Breitbart has attacked this administration in the past, and rightly so. He infiltrated Acorn, exposed their criminality, and caused them to go bankrupt. It only makes sense that this latest scandal is the White House's dirty tricks department hitting back at him. If this were seen in The Godfather, someone might be saying to Breitbart, it's not personal, Andrew, it's strictly business. Is the charade scandal Obama's October surprise? You know, they just last week, Beowulf, remember they said we have surprises waiting for you? Remember that? When they were challenged about losing seats, they said we have a surprise for you? Mm-hmm. The government media complex is involved in a media war against conservative patriots. Who do you think will win this battle? Who will win the battle of November 2010? These are important questions, and we're covering them here on the show. And we're also talking today about Savage's take on Kinsey's sex legacy. Why? Because there's a new book out from a fabulous author called Judith Reisman, and her book is called Sexual Sabotage, How One Mad Scientist Unleashed a Plague of Corruption and Contagion on America. And it examines an unexplored aspect of Kinsey's methodology and how deeply his influence is ingrained in American culture, even though the whole structure upon which the sexual revolution was based is based upon fraudulent science. No science. Her new book, Sexual Sabotage. And the article says, Savage cited Reisman's research in his 2005 best-selling book, Liberalism is a Mental Disorder. Savage said Kinsey was a degenerate, period. He disguised his voyeurism as fact and called it science. The reason the Hollywood Caesars sought to honor this disturbed creature rather than expose him is because the foundation of their sexual license is built on his teachings. He's their sexual guru. If he was exposed as the fraudulent Freud, what would that say about their endless sex capades? And as adherents to a Kinsey view of sex, the Caesars of Hollywood feel free to justify all manners of perversions, close quote. They quote me. And they go on and say, Savage, who's condemned Penthouse publisher Larry Flint as, quote, the man who brought pornography to every corner, the man who destroyed the family, has railed against the pervasiveness of pornography, which he cites as a key tool in breaking down societal boundaries and progressing a cultural and ultimately political revolution. Cultural revolution demolishes the society from within. Does that sound like something you understand, Savage said? Little doubt, Dr. Reisman will. In her book, she recently named names in indicting the global pedophile movement for ensuring that Roman Polanski escaped prosecution for drugging, raping, and sodomizing a 13-year-old girl. This is a complicit conspiracy. In fact, you know, it's amazing. In a story on U.S. reaction to Polanski's failed extradition, the Washington Times interviewed Reisman, and here's what we learned. People in power commonly surround themselves with those who share their ideals and protect their own secrets, Reisman said, noting that his 1970s Hollywood friends threw Polanski a party and opened up a 13-year-old bottle of champagne right after he was accused of raping a 13-year-old girl by making her drunk. She said, making him a heroic figure is a peon to pedophilia, she said. Look, it's pretty bad. Judith Reisman is one of the leading opponents of pornography who argues that porno exposure releases erototoxins into the body, chemicals which alter and damage the mind and the sexuality of a pornography viewer. That's amazing stuff. That's amazing stuff.
Somebody signs off on a scientific study and these people are capable of anything. They'll justify absolutely anything.
Could you play a little of the jazz here on the Savage Nation? We'll take a quick break together. You got any of the Take Five stuff? Not. Okay. Don't you have the new stuff? Must we go back again? Can you give me a piece of new stuff? There's a pinched nerve in my neck. Why a pinched nerve in my neck? I've been healthy all my life. Why now? Stress. Finish the book. Personal problems. S happens to people. Here today, gone tomorrow. I know someone who had to go to a high school today for grief counseling. A 16-year-old died of a heart attack at the desk, not even playing sports. Then I know someone at the grief counseling at the CHP. Our heart goes out to their family. A motorcycle cop with much experience cut off by a dumb old woman. Hit the car. His arm is hanging. His life is hanging. He's hanging. You're hanging. We're hanging. All aboard. There's some other great stories on michaelsavage.com. You want to hear the latest news? Rangel was charged today. Now, I don't know whose October surprise this is. Rangel charged with multiple ethics violations. New York Dem gave up Ways and Means gavel in February. This just happened, Beowulf.
They finally got around to wrangling Rangel, huh?
Yep, they wrangled him into the corral against a Democrat who has served in the House for 40 years and is fourth in House seniority. Now, this is a much bigger story than the Breitbart scandal, because this man is a Democrat who has served in the House for 40 years and fourth in House seniority. Let me ask you something, Beowulf. Do you think it'll get as much play from CNN and MSNBC as the other story about a black person?
Not half as much. It's much easier to attack Andrew Breitbart rather than somebody who's actually in power.
The investigation of Charlie Rangel has focused on his use of stationery to raise money for the Charles B. Rangel Center for Public Service. Whether he had the Ways and Means Committee consider legislation that would benefit donors to the Rangel Center, preserved a tax shelter for an oil drilling company, Nabors Industries, used four rent-controlled apartment units in New York City when the city's rent stabilization program is supposed to apply to one's primary residence, whether Rangel has required publicly reported information on the financing and rental of his ownership interest in a unit within a Punta Cana yacht club in Punta Cana, Dominican Republic, and intentionally failed to report when required hundreds of thousands of dollars or more in assets. The amended disclosure reports added a credit union, IRA, mutual fund accounts, and stock. I mean, this guy's very big, very way up in the Democrat food chain. Just happened minutes ago. Rangel charged with multiple ethics violations. I can guarantee you CNN and MSNBC will not cover it to any extent, though they'll do it in passing. But you know and I know that this is going to get the hush up and the brush up.
Yeah, probably sounds like he has enough ways and means at his disposal to take care of his legal problems, too.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's about it from Michael Savage.
Savage.